And Jesus called to him the multitude and his disciples, and he said to them, "If anyone would follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow. For those who try to save their life will lose it. But those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospels, they will find it. For what does it profit someone to gain the whole world but forfeit their soul?" At the height of her popularity, Lady Diana was seen as one of the most beautiful, the richest, most privileged, and adored young women in the world. What the world did not know was that she was also bulimic, depressed, and failing in her attempt to save her marriage. And one day, this beautiful young woman of immense privilege had an opportunity for her life to intersect that of an old, ugly woman who owned virtually nothing. Her name was Mother Teresa. Lady Diana thought that this famously gracious woman would give her consolation, but instead the old nun gave Lady Di a verbal kick in the pants. She said to her, "Young woman, you are too fixated on your own needs. You're too focused upon yourself. You need to expand your sense of self and use your celebrity to benefit the needy in this world. Use your platform, your voice, to give power to the powerless. Expand your sense of self and live for others and not your own need." That conversation changed Lady Diana's life. She began to invest herself working with AIDS patients and impoverished children and benefiting other causes. And she found in expanding her sense of self to embrace the neediness of others, she found a peace and a purpose that her life had been lacking. Amazing, isn't it? That two women so different in lifestyle intersected in such a meaningful way and ironically died within a few days of each other. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they parrot the scuttlebutt they've been hearing. Well, some say you're John the Baptist brought back to life. Some say you're Elijah returning. Some say you're another great prophet. And Jesus said, "Okay, who do you say I am?" And Peter answers for the group, "You are the Christ." Now, it is rare in Mark's gospel the disciples get anything right, but they nailed this one. But then they are dismayed when Jesus says, "And this is the kind of Christ I am, a Christ who will be rejected and reviled and arrested and tortured and crucified." And Peter speaks for the group, "No, Lord, that's not what happens to Messiahs. Messiahs rule." And Jesus rebukes Peter in the strongest possible language. "Get behind me, Satan." And that interchange paves the way for what Jesus says next. To the disciples and the multitude around, he said, "If any of you would follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow. For those of you who try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life in the pursuit of my goals and my gospel, you'll find yourself. You'll find your life. Jesus was saying to those disciples and the multitude around him the same thing that Mother Teresa said to Lady Di. If you want to find purpose and fulfillment in life, expand your sense of self. If you want to find out who you are, take what talents you have and use them in the service of others. The great paradox of life is those who spend their lives focused upon accruing more and more for themselves, who spend their life seeing its purpose as aggrandizing themselves. Their souls will wither. But those who pour their life out, who invest their life in expanding their sense of self and caring for others, those are the people that will find their way to God and their true identity. That truth is brought home to me in a very strange place. A CBF passport mission camp. Melissa, God bless her, had lost her male chaperone for the week, and so she shanghaied me into being that chaperone, which meant at the end of a very long week of teaching vacation Bible school and then preaching all morning, I had to hop in the car and drive 430 miles from Rome, Georgia to Jacksonville, Florida. And the next morning, I was supervising a mission site, an inner city place in Jacksonville where someone had cut down a big pile of hardwood, and I was given a group of youth to do something with it. I said to the director, you give me enough axes, you give me a few splitters, and in a few days you'll have firewood to sell. And then I proceeded to teach a whole bunch of young girls and young guys how to cut firewood and split it. And at the end of that week, the director came out to speak to us. He called himself Little John. Little John was about 6'5", about 275, with hair down to his shoulders and tattoos that started at his elbow and went down to his fingertips. He looked like a Hell's Angel, which I think is what he had been before he turned his life around. And in his big bushy beard, he looked at us and said, I am so proud of you. I am amazed by what you have accomplished. And then he said these words, you have given of yourself. But it's only in giving of yourself that your spirit soars. It's only in giving of yourself that your spirit soars. When this big, rough-hewn, scraggly bearded mountain of a man said those poetic words, I felt the holy chill bumps. Even though the heat index was 110. When you give of yourself, you let your spirit soar. That's what Jesus was saying to the disciples. That's what he was saying to the multitude around him. When you give of yourself, when you lose yourself helping others, your spirit soars up to God. And you find out who you're meant to be. Some years ago, a youth in my church asked me to name my favorite comedian. and was really confused when I said the words Red Skelton. Red Skelton was one of the greatest comics and perhaps the cleanest comic of all time. Youth, I invite you to go on YouTube and watch Red Skelton do Clem Cadiddlehapper or the Mean Whittle Kid. And I guarantee you, you will laugh. It was a brilliant comic. But even as a kid, I could tell there was an underlying sadness to his life. And I found out that he lost a son to leukemia in 1958. And he poured himself into his comedic work because he found in making other people laugh, it was his avenue out of his own darkness and into light and peace. Someone asked him, "Why do you do what you do?" And he gave this answer: "A comic is a warrior against gloom. A comic is a warrior against gloom." In making others laugh, in using his talent to bring mirth to others, it was his avenue out of his own darkness. A comic is a warrior against gloom. So too is a Christian. Whatever you have been given by God, you've been given by God to give away. A comic must joke. A teacher must teach. A writer must write. A singer must sing. An athlete must compete. What use are the talents we have been given if we keep them to ourselves? They're only maximized when we use them, when we pour them out to benefit those around us. That's where fulfillment is found, in pouring ourselves out. In expanding our sense of self. The great paradox of life is, the more you focus upon yourself, the more you lose yourself. The more you give yourself away, the more you find yourself. Every parent has had the not so pleasant experience of seeing a mess in the living room and saying to their child, "How about cleaning that up?" Only to hear the words, "I didn't make that mess. It's not my mess." And the parent says, "Do it anyway." The parent is challenging the child to expand his or her sense of self, to recognize there is a loyalty to the family as a whole. You don't just clean up the messes that you make. You pour yourself out for the whole family. Jesus saw that instinct in humanity. He saw our propensity for self-centeredness, for defining our lives narrowly. So he told a story. He said there was a Jew that was on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem, and robbers fell on him and beat him to a pulp. And a priest comes by and sees him and says, "Not my mess." And a Levite comes by and says, "Not my mess." And a Samaritan who is not related to this man by blood or religion or nationality, he expands his sense of self and pours himself out for this man and brings healing. Jesus says, "That's the kind of person I want you to be. That's the kind of faith I want you to practice. Expand your sense of self to have compassion upon those who you might not think are your mess." Paul writes in Ephesians, "You want to be a Christian? Then put on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes of peace and the belt of truth and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Now you don't put that much junk on and do nothing. You are then equipped to go out in the world and to serve, to battle for goodness, to battle for right. It'd be like putting on a football helmet and shoulder pads and knee pads and cleats and then going and sitting in your den. You put on all that stuff, you're meant to go out and play. Faith is not merely about believing. It's about believing and doing. Doing. One night at that Passport Mission Camp, Melissa asked me to do the devotional with our kids. And I said to them, "This week, you are all honorary deacons of our church." They looked at me with puzzled faces, and I said, "Look, the word deacon comes from a Greek word meaning through the dust. Through the dust." Scholars believe that the term deacon was based on waiters who got their feet dirty as they went from table to table. The earliest deacons actually served table to table, feeding others. I said to my young people, "As you have spent this week getting your shoes muddy and your socks sandy, going through the dust to serve others, you have become deacons because you expanded your sense of self to go through the dust for others." Jesus says the irony is, focus upon yourself and you're going to lose it. Open your eyes with compassion upon others and you'll find out who you're meant to be. I think of an interchange between a reporter and a lighthouse operator. The reporter said, "Don't you get bored staring out at the sea all day?" And the man replied, "Not since I saved my first sailor." Not since I saved my first sailor. That is the gospel. When we spend our lives being instruments of redemption for others, when we spend our lives trying to find those outside the circle of grace and to bring them into the banquet table of God, that's when we fathom the mystery and the wonder and the strength of the kingdom. It's expanding ourselves to look with compassion upon those the world might consider outcast and bringing them in. As Little John said, to give of yourself is to let your spirit soar. There are two great bodies of water in Israel. One of them is known as the Sea of Galilee. The other is the Dead Sea. Both of them have the same water, but they're very different. Water flows down from the high Hebron mountains into the Sea of Galilee, and it supports a teeming aquatic life and a thriving fishing industry. And the water pours out of the Sea of Galilee into the Jordanian Valley, creating the Jordan River and creating a lush, fertile valley of green in a vast desert of brown. And the water flows into the lowest point on earth, the Dead Sea, where nothing lives. The difference is the Sea of Galilee not only has a great inlet, it also has a great outlet. Water flows in, but it also flows out. The Dead Sea has a wonderful inlet, but all it is a repository. Nothing flows out. And so nothing lives there. Jesus is saying to his friends, there are a whole host of people whose souls are nothing but a dead sea. Blessings flow in, but nothing flows out. They have an inlet, but no outlet. But my disciples, said Jesus, take up their cross and follow. They have an inlet for blessings to flow in, but they also have an outlet for blessings to flow out. And those who develop a great inlet and a great outlet, they will find communion with God, and they'll find out who they're meant to be. May we pray together. Lord, we confess sometimes we're mostly about inlet. We want the blessings to flow into us. We want to accrue, we want to aggrandize ourselves. We want to focus on our agenda. But may we understand that our greatest blessing is found in pouring ourselves out. For in pouring ourselves out and giving of ourselves, our spirits can soar. Impress that truth upon us by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.